Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This show guides our listening audience to an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode will focus on developing leadership skills in our children, and all of our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. So I'll get started tonight. Mark Shaheed, you're on, my good brother.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadu wa ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, want to greet our audience nationally and internationally with the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that obligates the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace. Of assalamu alaikum. I am Mark Shaheen, the host, the facilitator, and producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday evening here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be tuned in for the first time, we want you to know that this is your learning lab on what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. So we do invite you to ask questions and to make comments, and you can do that by simply pressing 1 on your keypad, and our engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me and Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean that you have your hand up. We also want you to know that if you're listening by way of the Internet, for you to participate in the Learning Lab, to ask a question or make a comment, you have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the call-in number to the studio is 714-816-4673. So we do invite you to call in as well as you listen in and be a participant in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Just want to say to give some staples here for those of you who may be listening in for the first time. We use as a foundation for this learning lab, as well as the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet in the demonstration of the Quran, and the Tafsir, which simply means the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Those are the foundational tools that we use in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We also have established some staple things in following the lead of our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, when he said to us, in definition is direction. And I'm also going to add, also correction. We simply give a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility not only the mother but the father have also in nurturing and cultivating these vital components that comprise the human being. And we also say that it is the role and responsibility of the parents to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, then their community. And we say inshallah, which simply means God willing, having that mindset and that disposition and understanding our role and responsibility as parents, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. And we also have established on this Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, outside of Allah, the God that has created everything, is the first teacher for all of human creation. He has given the honor and the distinction to the mother first in terms of being the first teacher, but also the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that once said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many different expressions of that, but the one I like is that she would be given the honor and distinction of giving the foundational knowledge that is needed and necessary not only for our baby girls, but for our baby boys. And so with that, at the beginning of each Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, in case you weren't with us for the previous Learning Lab last week, an episode that we have our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to give us that information. And we do ask that you bring an open mind and open heart to the Learning Lab and to bring a pen and paper, because there'll be some noteworthy things that will be said. So at this time, I'd like to extend the greetings to my partner, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you doing this evening, Mark?
Oh, you know I'm always charged up on Wednesday evening. Just to mention, parenting and family reconstruction is so very, very important, that, you know, because we have to get it right in the first social unit in society. And I think if we can do a better job in terms of parenting and constructing the family life as Allah intended for the sacred institution, then we'll see a better human society. Back to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
You are so correct. Thank you, Mark. Assalamu alaikum and greetings of peace to everyone. Remember, you can access recordings of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab at blogtalkradio.com. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab Overview, episode number 37, March 10th, 2022. The Resource, 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John C. Maxwell. The quality that we discussed last week was number 16, responsibility. Brother Mark introduced the characteristic of responsibility by stating that the first responsibility of the human being is to our Lord and Creator, and that the Creator helps the human being to respond with ability and the ability to respond rightly. He goes on to say that we should teach children this fact, to accept responsibility to their Lord and Creator. They should know that when they reach puberty, they will be responsible and accountable for their Lord and Creator. Since responsibility can have different meanings for different people, we defined how we were perceiving it for this discussion. In the book, 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John C. Maxwell, Maxwell provides four characteristics of people who embrace responsibility. For these characteristics that he listed, we provided insight and examples of how we can foster these characteristics in children so that they can develop the trait of responsibility, God willing. The first characteristic is they get the job done. Here we emphasize the importance of completing a task. Brother Mark shared a poem that he was taught as a child. Once a job has begun, be the job great or small, do it well or not at all. This poem has a message that can ring in your mind for many years to come. Saying a poem is a great way to remind children of a desired behavior. We also shared the following techniques for developing responsibility. Start early, while the child is in the formative years. Give them chores to do around the home. Show them how to do a task and give them the autonomy of doing it independently. Share stories of the prophets, including Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. These stories will demonstrate responsibility and other identifiable traits. We also reminded the audience that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, along with other prophets, worked diligently to complete the task that Allah had assigned for them. The second characteristic, they are willing to do to go the extra mile. To expand on this characteristic, Mark shared a story of how his mother instilled in him as a child the inclination to do extra. This story not only revealed the benefit of doing more than expected, but it also emphasizes the important role parents play in teaching children all the traits, including responsibility. The third characteristic, they are driven by excellence. We use a hadith, which is a saying from our tradition, and a verse from Quran to support the idea that seeking excellence is a part of Islamic values, as expressed in the saying, whenever a believer endeavors to do anything, he seeks to perfect it. And a man gets man and mankind gets nothing but what he strives for. We found that in chapter 53, verse 39. We want to teach our children to strive for excellence and to take pride in whatever task that they are doing. Brother Mark shared another poem that reminded him to strive for excellence as a child, and he passed it on to his children. There is good, better, and best. Never give it a rest until your good becomes better, and better becomes your best. When you do that, you can rest. Characteristic number four, they produce regardless of the situation. For this topic, we suggest that we teach children while they are young to not give up. Teach them to avoid making excuses. Children can learn through experience that unfavorable conditions or obstacles do not stop the commitment to produce. We suggest that children become aware of the struggles and unfavorable conditions that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, faced during his prophethood. For example, the three-year boycott where he lost his wife, Lady Khadijah, and his uncle, Abu Talib. These circumstances were challenging, but regardless, he produced and continue to believe, as Allah had promised, that surely with difficulty comes ease. Surely with difficulty comes ease. Surah or chapter 94 of Quran. In conclusion, we suggested that parents should avoid overindulging children, which can make children irresponsible. There are three things parents should avoid doing that can negate children learning the responsibility. Number one, giving them too many material things or too many activities without the expectations that they will fulfill obligations. Number two, doing things for the child that they are able to do for themselves. Number three, not requiring children to meet obligations or parents' expectations or to face the consequences of their actions. We pray that Allah will guide and protect us and grant us children who are striving to be his servants. Amen. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. That simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to say once again an excellent, excellent recap of last week's production on the Parenting Family Reconstruction by you, Dr. Slaudine. Really appreciate that. So you captured so many highlights, and hopefully our radio listener audience got an opportunity to jot some of those things down. And so, you know, and maybe questions later on you may want to bring some of those things up from last week, which was the 16th of the 21 indispensable qualities, which was responsibility, very, very important. And so this week, to our radio listening audience, is on security. All of these indispensable when we say indispensable, meaning that it's mandatory that our children, these qualities grow up in them. If they're going to be leaders for themselves, their family and community, and perhaps world leaders, it's essential that they have these qualities. It's essential that as parents that we have these qualities and that we can teach our children. And then this publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell actually helps in terms of helping how you help to instill this. But as I said earlier, that the foundation that we use here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Al Quran, The Life Example of the Prophet, and the Tafsir Clear Explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad. So, you know, Dr. Salahuddin always liked to start out with something from the Quran that actually would relate to each one of these indispensable essential qualities of a leader. When I think about security, after we read Al-Fatiha, which is the first seven ayats that comprise the opening surah or chapter of the Quran, the fifth ayat there is Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. That translated in the English expression is asking or requesting that Allah guide us on the straight path. Guide us on the straight path, which makes Al-Fatiha a dua whenever we ask for something in our prayer. It is a dua. We're personally asking Allah, somebody else revealed to the human being, to ask for the guidance. But in the second surah, which is Al-Baqarah, titled the Helper, sometimes the Cow, in the second verse, Allah says, that is the book. What is the book? The book is the Quran. In it is guidance, sure, without doubt. Stop right there. Okay? So we're talking about security. There's no book that I know that begins like this is guidance, sure, without doubt. So the Quran immediately in request for the human being asking for guidance, the Quran, Allah, immediately lets us know that there is guidance, sure, without doubt. This will secure the human being in knowing that what it is that's being received from the Quran in the various aspects of our life, that they can feel very secure in what it is that Allah is revealing to the human creation. This is very important that as parents we know and we believe in what it is that Allah is saying. When we say Sadaqa Allahu Zin, surely Allah has spoken the truth. We not only have to say that, but we have to internalize that. That becomes security for us as human beings, but also the various caps that we wear, which one is parenting. You can't teach what it is that you don't know and what it is that you don't truly believe. So when Allah says, you know, this is the book, that is the book, and it's guidance, sure, without doubt, no doubt in it. And so security should come to us, but it gives for those who are consciously regardful of him. We have to, when our children begin to grow up and begin to understand word and verbiage and everything, we have to begin to teach them that. For those who are consciously regardful of him, you know, be consciously regardful. The security will come because Allah will bless you with what it is that you're asking for 17 times a day, when we make the five obligatory salat. And then those who believe in the unseen, those who establish prayer regularly, and those who spend out of what it is that God has given to them, and that believe in what was revealed to the prophet Muhammad and what was revealed before him, know that they are on right guidance, and they will be the ones that will prosper. Now, if that doesn't indicate security coming from the Lord of all of creation, Lord of all the worlds, in terms of giving revelation and revealing to us. And once we internalize that and then begin to put it into practice, this actually will be a way in terms of teaching our children, because we teach them not only through the instructions of the Quran, but also the demonstration in our life. So I just want to start out by saying the security that we have is a mercy. Allah is the merciful redeemer. Yeah, and so this revelation actually helps us in terms of being secure and knowing that Allah has created us in the best of mold. So when we understand what it is Allah is revealing to us, we can feel very secure, even in our own human creations. More I could say about that, but I think that in terms of talking about security, how do we take from the Quran, extrapolate from the Quran, and then convey that to our children when we are actually teaching them through instruction and also through demonstration. So with that being said, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, I know that there's some things that Dr. John C. Maxwell said in his book in terms of what a secure leader looks like and what an insecure leader looks like. So so please, if you will, take us to some of those points, and we'll have a discussion. And want to say to those who may have just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and Mark Shahid. So we do invite you to raise your hand. All you got to do is press 1, and Rashid Salam will notify us that you have your hand up. Dr. Salahuddin?
Yes, Mark. Oh, absolutely. The John C. Maxwell gives us the negative and the positive of security, the secure and the insecure. And I'm going to cover the way he presents it is the insecure first. And which is I thought about, well, why would he give us the insecure first? But actually, you got a clear understanding of something when you look at the opposite of it.
Yes.
So that was, I think that was his plan. So we're going to take a look at the insecure characteristics first. And he says that, number one, the insecure leader don't provide security for others. And number two, they take more from people than they give. Number three, they continually limit their best people. And number four, they continually limit the organization. And that was just four for the insecurity. Mark, we're back to you.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start with number one, Dr. Salahuddin, and please repeat that again. And then what is it that you extrapolate from number one? We'll take them, in that order. What is it that you extrapolate from the first thing in the insecure leader that he stated? And I'll give some commentary. And we also invite our radio listening audience to do so. Go ahead, Dr. Salahuddin.
Okay, they don't provide security for others. So the insecure person does not make other people feel secure. And for a person to become an effective leader, the kind that others want to follow, they do not have those kind of traits. And they also don't feel good about themselves. So what I thought about was Pharaoh. Now, you want to say, well, Pharaoh seemed to be real confident. No, Pharaoh was arrogant. He was not confident, and he was not secure. He did not make other folks feel comfortable. And, in fact, he wanted to instill fear in people more than for them to feel comfortable. So I think about a character that, as Pharaoh, who was very, very insecure, I think. And I think he had the qualities of an insecure leader. That person, he was arrogant, but he was not secure. And that is one of the things that we want to, you know, show. We want to share that story with children as well, the story of Moses, the story of Pharaoh, because Allah shares that story with us throughout the Quran about Pharaoh. And so you see the negative behavior teaching you the positive behavior. So you see that insecurity and you see that characteristic coming through, that character. He was very vivid and a great threat to Allah's people. And you also get to see what happens to the insecure Pharaoh. So, yeah, I think that is important that we note that the Pharaoh was an example of an insecure leader.
Yes, alhamdulillah, that's an excellent point. And just want to say that, you know, this is a way that in parenting that the narratives in the Quran, as Dr. Patricia Salahuddin has just said, are very important because we can see different qualities and characteristics, positive or negative, in the narratives of the figures in the Quran. So it's not just to amuse you or to entertain you. There's something that can be extrapolated, that can be taken away in terms of actually teaching our children through narratives. I don't like to use the word stories, but narratives in terms of that. I see in terms of, insecure leaders have a way of making those insecure. You know, when I look at in terms of insecurity, where I see a person that doesn't have confidence, I want to give something, as we said, we use the tafsir of Imam Muhammad as a foundation here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And you might want to take note of this because I think this is very important. Imam Muhammad gave us a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to confidence. Confidence. He said that confidence is no more than having a rational assessment of your own abilities. I'm going to say that again for those who may have taken the notes. Imam Muhammad said that confidence is no more than having a rational assessment of your own abilities. Sometimes people will misperceive arrogance for confidence. You know, arrogance, you know, because in that definition that Imam Muhammad gave us in terms of confidence, the believer who's consciously regardful of God, he knows and understands and will say and give the praise and the thanks to God for the abilities that he has. This is very important. So we can differentiate between confidence and arrogance. The arrogant person does not recognize the Creator. The confident person does recognize the Creator. You can often see it oftentimes with athletes that have accomplished something. Those ones that thank God first, you understand, for the ability that has been given to them. We talk about the NBA, not the National Basketball Association, but as a wordologist, I use that in many of the workshops and seminars and lectures that I do. It is a natural-born ability that God gives to us. And we have to also understand that God gives those abilities to other people in certain proportion. And so an insecure person has difficulty securing somebody with something that he doesn't possess or she doesn't possess in that regard. So what we want to do as parents, we want to make sure that our children are very secure, but they're very secure in the abilities that they have been given by Almighty God. And he has many, many gifts, many, many things that he give in abundance to all of us. We all have something. And so as parents, we want to really help our children to identify those things that he has given to us really in an abundance, and to recognize that and to be very, very secure in ourselves. Because if you're not secure in yourself and you are a leader, it shows up. Obviously, it shows up. This person is insecure. This person doesn't have confidence. And then we'll talk about sometimes at the very root, a little bit later on, it could be jealousy or envy, you know. And the twin brother for that is insecurity. Show me somebody that is jealous, don't have any justification for being jealous or envious, and you'll see a person that is insecure. So we want to replace that insecurity with security. And we want our children to always be secure in what it is that Allah has given to them, not be jealous of others and feel insecure, because jealousy is one of those emotions that's very difficult to camouflage or to hide. It eventually will surface. I could say more, but I think I've said enough, Dr. Salahuddin. So I want to go back to you. I want to say to our radio listening audience, you are listening to IWDM Radio if you tune in late, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we do expect somebody to raise their hand tonight with a question or a comment. Or for those of you who listen in and absorb all this, I think, noteworthy information, Dr. Salahuddin and myself would like to hear from you. And you can do that by pressing 1 if what is being said is resonating with you tonight. Question to the radio listening audience. Well, you're a very secure person, and are you raising your children up? You understand what that security, how important do you think it is in terms of being an essential quality? Dr. Salahuddin, let's go to 2.
Okay, 2. They take more from people than they give. Insecure people are on a continual quest for validation, acknowledgement, mm-hmm. and love. Because of that, their focus is on finding security, not instilling it in others. They are primarily takers rather than givers, and takers do not make good leaders. And so this quality is definitely the totally, total opposite of Imam Worthy Muhammad, because I've heard so many people say how giving he was. And the same thing with our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, Prophet Muhammad, how he was constantly giving, always giving, giving of himself, giving of his property, giving of his knowledge. And so we see these qualities in our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and we want to make those qualities real to our children. And we share his experience, and we share his life, and also they should see that with us as we are giving, and we. We're demonstrating the giving. And I've been in positions where under people who were insecure. They were the leader, and they exhibit qualities of insecurity. And it was hard as a person working under that kind of a characteristic, a person is carrying that kind of characteristic, because they're constantly taking from you, and it's exhausting because they constantly need for you to validate them. And then the way they go about it is scary to the person who's having to work with them, because if you don't do it, you get accused of something, or you know something comes your way that's negative. And so it's a very difficult thing, isn't it? And you don't, also, if that person has a child, I can imagine what kind of life the child is going through. So, you know, we too must watch what we're doing, you know, making sure that we are secure ourselves so that we aren't putting our children in a situation where they don't know what to say or what to think next, and they're insecure. I mean, we make them insecure because of our insecurity. So we want to check that out. So we're talking about the children, but, you know, parents can't do for children if they are also suffering. So we want to take a look at these traits for ourselves, because if we are exhibiting any of these traits, the negative part of the traits, we want to correct that so we cannot be a negative, bring a negative force on our children. So taking more than they give is a trait that we want to be mindful of.
Yes, well, you know, wise man, excuse me, alhamdulillah, no, that's an excellent point. You know, a wise man once said, in terms of a man becoming a man, in terms of beginning to exemplify manhood, is that when you give more than you take, and you produce more than what you consume. I thought that words of wisdom. When you give more than you take, and you produce more than what you consume, you can see that now you have gone from boyhood to manhood, usually when you say in that regard. So we know that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we say that the Prophet, you understand, exemplifies the Quran, and I'll start with that. In looking at this here, that effective leaders that are secure, they always give more than they take. As a matter of fact, I even go so far that they're not looking to take anything from you. They're looking to give to you something that can be helpful and beneficial. And we see this, even in parenting. You know, and I'm glad that Dr. Slaluddin mentioned our Prophet Muhammad. May the prayers and peace be upon him. And our leader, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad, I can say personally in my relationship with him and interacting with him, he personified generosity. Mm-hmm. He was always looking to give. He was a very secure leader. And if you listen to many of his presentations, his addresses, his lectures, oftentimes he would say that, not in a boastful way, not in an arrogant way, but he had to say that so that we would listen and we recognize that what he was saying that Allah had blessed him with. This is very important. So this distinguishes between the person that get and receive something and becoming having the big head of being arrogant. So those type of people that recognize that it is the Creator that has given them something of benefit. You have to remember that blessings are, and I used to teach my children this, Dr. Slaluddin, that blessings are not blessings until they're shared with others. That's very noteworthy. Blessings are not blessings until they're shared with others. So we know who is the one that give us the blessings, you know, and they should be shared with others. And so to teach our children, you understand, to be givers and not takers as parents, we have to say that to them in terms of instructing them to be givers rather than takers. And oftentimes, people that are insecure will be takers. They want to take more than what they give. Because why? The insecurity leads them to think or believe in their mind and also their heart, their intention and motivation, that if I give you what it is that I have, you may get ahead of me. Sounds familiar? We just talked about a minute ago in terms of the jealousy. I don't want you to get ahead of me. So I'm insecure. See, you see how jealousy and insecurity, they go together hand in hand, like peanut butter and jelly, you see? So we don't want to be jealous, nor do we want to be envious, because insecurity is a partner. It is the brother and sister of jealousy and envy. And you, and as you say, all of us probably have met people who was jealous and envious. Sometimes you'd be like, why could, what are you, why are you jealous of me? I don't really have much of anything, but you seemingly are jealous of me, you know. And so you won't even give them even a word of encouragement. Now, I'm just talking about giving, you understand. So we have to be able to give, and not only in terms of just material things, but a word of encouragement. That's charity too. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the prayers and peace be upon him, he has said in the believer's life, there's never a time that he can't give charity if it's no more than just a smile. That's giving. Smiles are indication of approval of something. Parents smile at their child. That's an approval of a community member or what. But since we're talking about parenting and family reconstruction, we should be giving our children as much encouragement. A hug, a kiss on the cheek, words of affirmation. See, this is giving. But if, in fact, if you're jealous, or maybe, and I believe it or not, I've known even some parents that was jealous of their children because they excel them. But this should be the urge in us to want to give our children so they can go far and beyond than what it is that we have done. And if this is part of the socialization of our children, then, and we can instill this in them, this will be an essential quality that they won't hold back. They always be looking to give to others and not try to take from others. I could say more about that, but I don't want to spend too much time because we want to get through all of these four. But I'm hoping you're taking great notes because I think this is some valuable information tonight in terms of this essential quality of security. So, Dr. Salal, let's go to Rashid and see if we have anybody with their hands up in the air tonight. We don't want to just have this learning lab without any participation. So, Rashid Salam, do we have any hands up? Anybody press one? Or do you have a question or comment in regards to this information or what? Is it resonating with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sitting here listening, but at the same time, I can't get my mind off parenting and family reconstruction, you know? And as you guys are talking, as you are talking, you know, I look at we didn't have a manual to become a parent, nor did we have a manual on who we were and what we were until the Quran. But the self-evaluation that must take place with a person before you begin to try to share information with your children is ultra important. And you know, I'm looking at life. The definition of life is a culmination of your own life experiences. So the only thing you can give your children is what you know. So if you don't take the initiative to begin to research and study and participate in programs like this, we can't act like we know something. You know, if that was the case, we wouldn't be doing parenting and family reconstruction. So we see something that needs to be done in society, within our own personal lives, within our own communities, and the subject matter is just right on point, and we can never get enough of the parenting education and the reconstruction of our community, because we're supposed to build model communities. How can you do that if you don't have the information or the education to share with your children, since they are our future? They can't be our future if we don't give them anything to walk on a path someplace. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, and very well said. I say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belong to Allah. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Patricia Sullivan, I think we're at number three. Am I correct?
Yes, we are at number three, and number three says they continually limit their best people. Now, remember, we're talking about the insecure leader. They continually limit their best people, and this is that leader that cannot celebrate the victories of the people who they're leading. They don't recognize the team. If someone talks about what wonderful thing that happened, they don't recognize that it was the team that did it, not them. They will take on the credit for that. The they don't understand the laws of empowerment, you know, how that works. Being an insecure leader hoards all the power, does not give power to other people. And I know probably some of our listeners out there have worked for people who do not know how to empower the people that they work for, that work under them, I'm sorry, to people that work under them. They've had experience. I have seen it. I have had experience with leaders that do not know how to empower the people who are working with them or under them. And that's a very insecure state to be in. And I think one of the things we talked about earlier and that is ingratitude. An insecure leader or insecure person is not grateful. They do not understand or do not see or do not give thanks and praise to what Allah has given them. And that's where the jealousy comes in, too. When you're jealous because you are not looking at what Allah has given you. You're looking at what Allah has given somebody else. And that is a trait that we want to definitely get rid of, that not looking at what Allah has given us and not being grateful. We want to make sure that our children understand what gratitude is and how it works in their lives and what it does for you and how it protects you. So that person that limits their best people, the organization does not benefit when you have a leader who just cannot give their people that are under them to their empowerment, their organization will not benefit from that.
Yes.
So those are my statements on that.
Yes, alhamdulillah, that's excellent. And, you know, I'm going to take that, although Dr. John C. Maxwell is related to organization, but we want to look at community, but we also want to look at families. And it's families, right. You understand, families, you know, coming together to form community. And so I want to translate this here, whereas that when we don't give credit and we don't acknowledge, we don't want that person, or we limit those persons that are resourceful in the community. Quote from Imam W.D. Muhammad. You might want to take note. This is noteworthy. Some tafsir from Imam Muhammad. He said that leadership is in the resourceful people in your community. Leadership is in the resourceful people. Okay? So if you are a leader and you have resourceful people, as an effective leader, Imam Muhammad said that you should seek them out. Now, how does that work in terms of with parenting and family reconstruction? The same thing happens even in family life. If we see our children as they grow up, they'll grow up in certain arenas in their life. Once we were their teacher, now you understand, with them being very resourceful and we not holding them back because we're not jealous of them, they are so resourceful that oftentimes they help us. You
right.
see, and this
right.
is the way families are supposed to grow and go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how community is supposed to grow and go.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
That's
so
right.
You don't want to hold back anybody. I remember when I was in school, Dr. Slaudine, I was put up a grade. You know, when they would test you, they would see that if you wasn't on a third grade level, you were beyond third grade, they would put you in the fourth grade. I don't know if they do that now. I'm not so much in touch, especially with this secular, you know, education. But when they tested you and they saw that you was ahead, they didn't hold you back. And now no child left behind. So when we look at, you know, our children and assessing them. We don't want to hold them back. What did I mean by that? Some parents have the idea that if you ask a question, that you're not old enough to receive the answer. No, that's quite the contrary. If a child is able to ask and formulate a question, they deserve an answer. Now it becomes incumbent upon the parent to be able to give them an answer that would be palatable to them, that would be understandable to them. We can't get aggravated and irritated and frustrated because our children ask questions. We have to understand that this is Allah has put this in our children, in their fitrah, their original nature, to want to know. So we don't want to hold them back. And we don't want to, what I call, damn the relationship. The acronym for that is don't ask me nothing. Go somewhere. Sit down. Watch television. Get out of my face. All those type of things. No. No. We have to understand that we don't want to hold our children back. And if we don't know the answer, we have to be humble and say, this is an opportunity for a learning experience that we both can share together as parent and daughter, parent and son. I could say more, but I think I've said enough because we want to get through this and get to the last one. And then we'll also want to share something that I think Dr. John C. Maxwell put in the book that will help us to assess ourselves in terms of how secure, how much of the security that we possess or insecurity. Dr. Salahuddin, I think we're at number four.
Yes, we are. And that one says, they continually limit the organization, and I think you mentioned earlier, you compared the organization to the family. He said, when followers are undermined and receive no recognition, they become discouraged and eventually stop performing at their potential. And when that happens, the entire organization suffers. So the entire family suffers. You actually just covered that one, Mark, in your last comment. Yeah, you did. Yeah,
so alhamdulillah. And then we don't want, because, in mainstream media today, I got to say this, that seemingly, if we watch mainstream media, that none of our children are actually doing anything, achieving, accomplishing anything, because it doesn't get the notoriety that those that are performing hideous things and crimes and all in the society and everything. So this is why it becomes very important and incumbent upon parents in terms of recognition, not holding them back, words of affirmation. We don't want words of defamation, and sometimes silence can bring about that, whereas then children begin to think it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to my parents. No, I always wanted my children to know that I recognize your achievement, your accomplishments. And I look for opportunities to give them words of affirmation. You see, this is the encouragement that our children need when we start talking about the role and responsibility of parenting. We want to make sure that, and we want to do that in community life. Yes, Rashid?
Yes, sir. We have a hand raised here.
We have a hand raised. Let's go to the call and see what they have on their mind.
Okay. So we have 215-806. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. 215-806.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum assalam. Welcome to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You are live, and your question or comment, please.
My name is Salima Shahid. I live in Houston, Texas.
Yes, ma'am.
And my comment was with regard to, I'm sorry, I joined a bit late, so I didn't get the full conversation, but with regard to the third point about secure leadership is to acknowledge the accomplishments or the talents of those who are underneath you, or for whom you have power over, or power, that you have authority. And and I agree with the point with regard to not acknowledging, or the importance of acknowledging people on your team, and to in regard to families, acknowledging your children, asking, allowing them to ask questions, and respecting their questions and answering them. But in addition to that, is that secure leadership is knowing that you don't have all of the answers, and trusting that the people on your team are talented, trusting the talents and the gifts of the people on your team to allow their input to be also provide leadership within the group dynamic, whether it's parents, children, or some other group, so that we submit to the idea that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to his creation. And sometimes that comes from within you, and sometimes it comes with, and oftentimes it comes from outside of you, that you need to tap into that in order to benefit personally as a leader and for the benefit of the group. So as a parent, it's important that I listen to my children to get their, what they're thinking, to help them, cultivate their own skills and talents, but it's important to let them know and reinforce for them that you are a contributing member of this family, and that we rely on you to for our success. So that I listen to your input. Not only do I listen to it, but I'm a ways to propel you to leadership, to say that I'm listening to you, I'm taking your input, and it's valuable. Like, we need you to add.
Yeah.
To what we're doing in order for us to be successful.
Thank you. Now, did you say your name is Sister Shaheed? What's your first name?
Salima.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And if we say down south, you said a mouthful, and I concur. And I know Dr. Salo, we agree 100% with all that you said. Very valuable information. Thank you so much, Sister Shaheed. I wish you had come on a little bit earlier, because we would like to really have a little bit more dialogue in regards to very profound statements and information you just gave. Thank you so much. Continue to listen and come on a little bit earlier next week. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. We're right at the top of the hour. We got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Dr. Slaudeen, that's a powerful statement that she made, and most certainly you had to be a very secure parent, and we didn't get an opportunity to talk about that, but I want to give you a minute in your closing remarks. What would you like to leave our radio listening audience on this indispensable essential quality for leader security? Dr. Slaudeen.
First of all, I want to thank Salima for coming on. I invited her to see this earlier today, and I pray she comes back again, because she has a lot to say, and she has some wonderful examples, wonderful children that she told us today that she's learning from. Alhamdulillah. Know yourself. Give away the credit and get some help. Those are the things I'd like to leave our audience with.
We didn't get a chance to really get into that tonight. Yeah.
But inshallah, we'll talk about some other time.
Inshallah,
we'll
make a note of that. Yeah.
That's about it, but Mark,
alhamdulillah, and we didn't get an opportunity. Allah is the best knower, because we do thank Sister Shaheed for coming on and giving her comments, and hopefully Sister Shaheed and those who may have tuned in a little late, come on a little bit earlier, because we want to give you plenty of time and actually a dialogue with you, because as she said, Allah has given all of us something, and we should be willing to share that. We want to give you the opportunity to spend out of that which Allah has given to you, and even our young people. Very important. I want to thank you, Dr. Patricia Salaudeen, for each and every Wednesday, for the insight and the wisdom that Almighty God Allah has given to you to share with us here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And want to say that we look forward to having you back next week here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And so until then, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Thank our radio listening audience for tuning in this first hour of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And before we move on to our next production, which is the MGM Roundtable, that stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, just like to alert our radio listening audience that here on IWDM Radio, that tomorrow, which is Thursday, here on IWDM Radio is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Yeah, that's right, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL in Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And it'll be Karan and myself, no special guest facilitator tomorrow, but I think you're going to enjoy a lot of the information, education, as we are on the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. So if you've been with us and been taking excellent notes and all, we ask that you come back tomorrow and tune in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And our theme here is a family affair, so don't come by yourself. You know, this is what Allah has established, the sacred institution of marriage and also family life, and it's in the Quran. So we ask that you do tune in. So as we get ready to shift gears here, as always, I like to begin all productions with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation, I want to say that I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed people inside of our community, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less today, we have a very distinguished and esteemed guest. And before we actually bring her on, I want to have Rashid Salama, engineer, to read her bio, and then we will give her the greetings and bring her on the MGM Roundtable. So, Rashid?
Yes, sir. Mark, we have Naima Mohammed, a CSAC-affiliated alternative singer and songwriter. CSAC is basically the Society of European Stage Authors and Composers. So she is a member of that and a graduate from USC's Annenberg and Thornton Schools, which is currently based in Los Angeles. She is a board member for the Environmental Film Festival based in Washington, D.C., where she is the youngest on the council. In 2015, she was invited to attend President Obama's iftar dinner at the White House due to her community outreach and leadership as a musician. And her performances have ranged from popular East Coast venues to historic events such as the 2018 March for Our Lives Interfaith Prayer Vigil held at the National Cathedral following the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida. In 2019, MPAC Media Awards in Los Angeles, where she shared the stage with inspiring actors and filmmakers increasing the voice of representation of Muslims in the entertainment industry. Her latest single, Find the Dawn, explores the journey of overcoming tough times, trusting your faith, and finding a light up ahead. And her song, Before It Hurts, was featured in the soundtrack of CW's show, Batwoman, just last month, and was featured on Spotify's playlist. Her first song, was Born to Be a Fighter, features a lyric video honoring trailblazing women whose accomplishments have led to the way of change and have become an integral thread in our culture and society. It was featured on Apple Music's Black History Month playlist and will be featured in CW's Kung Fu show this year. Mark, I'd like to present to you a phenomenal young lady, Naima Mohammed. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, and I'd like to extend the greetings to you, dear sister Naima Mohammed. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. You're coming in loud and clear. And I want to, yes, ma'am, I want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And just in hearing this bio, outstanding bio, and as you well know, this is Women's History Month. And you know, Naima, I often say to people, you know, it's so important for us to recognize those who came before us and what it is that they have achieved and accomplished. But I'm always reminding people, and even our community here where I'm at in the STL, the St. Louis community, and even on national radio, I'm always reminding them, regardless to who they are or how long they've actually been here on earth, that what it is that we are doing or have done, we are actually making history. And I want to just say, just from listening to that very substantive bio of yours, you're making history. So I want to thank you for accepting my invitation to be my guest here on the MGM Roundtable.
And I want to thank you for allowing me to have the chance to speak with you, Brother Shahid, and join you on this platform, which has been such a useful conversation convener and platform in our community. So thank you so much for extending me this opportunity. I appreciate
it. Yes, alhamdulillah. So, you know, I always like to maximize the minimum, and the minimum is always time. And so in listening to your bio, obviously it's no secret Allah has blessed you to be multi-talented in not only being a song artist, but also a songwriter. And it's this production, Before It Hurts, and the upcoming production, Batwoman and All Canon will be heard by not only the Muslim community, but all over the world in that regard. So the first question I'd like to ask to you is your inspiration, you know, for some of these productions, and as an artist, I know Allah is the one that blesses you with that, but your inspiration, and when was this first released? Can you give us a little information in regards to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll take it just a step backwards for a moment in the fact that I can't do this alone, and I couldn't have done this alone without the support of my mother and without the support of my family. And this has not been an overnight journey, and I certainly wouldn't misrepresent it as such. So, you know, acknowledging it being Women's History Month and my opportunity to speak with you here, I would like to share first and foremost that my inspiration for this journey has been the support and encouragement of my mother, who biologically is my grandmother, but I consider her my mother, Fitra Muhammad, who I know you're familiar with and our community is familiar with. But when I was a kid, she saw in me something that I couldn't see yet. And she's the reason that I'm doing what I love today and the reason I work so hard to be able to provide her with the comfort and protection that she's provided me all of my life, alhamdulillah. she converted to Islam in her middle or late teens and built the foundation of Islam in our family that I was blessed to grow up into. And because of the conversations I had with her about deepening our spirituality, the quest for knowledge and the love of community and awareness, it, you know, it spiraled this idea that we can't get anywhere alone. So a lot of the messages in my music reflect that, these themes about hope, community, lifting each other up, all of these themes that I wouldn't necessarily have even come to without this background in this life with my mother and the journey and knowledge that I've had under her care and protection. So I wanted to first and foremost say that. acknowledge her as we set the stage for this conversation, because it's important to my story as well. So,
I tell you, what a way to really, really be inspired and be encouraged to get in touch with what it is Allah has blessed you with, and truly Allah has truly blessed you. And you know, we're just leaving the parenting family reconstruction learning lab.
This is perfect.
yes. So your statement and all is so very timely, because this is, you know, your mother is truly a blessing to you and your family, but I can also say that she's truly a blessing to us as a community, and she's a blessing to society because of what it is that she does. I know she don't like being on stage and all of that, but that's okay.
We recognize the
tremendous good that she has done, and just for, you know, hopefully she's listening in terms of your acknowledgement of her, how inspirational she has been in your life to encourage you. And I think that if we had more mothers and more fathers, I can't leave them out either, you know, is that word family is a word tologist, is father and mother inevitably loving you. We would have better sons and daughters that go on to be great achievers and contributors to the progress of human beings in general. So let's look at this this particular production. Obviously, you know, when did you actually put it together? Allah bless you to put it together, and there's always set time for releasing artists, you know, once they formulate, they write, they may make some changes, all of these things. I know it's a lot of work that goes into that. When we set the release, and give us a little background on this outstanding production.
Thank you. Well, thank you for acknowledging that, and I appreciate it. The pandemic provided an opportunity as much as it provided a struggle. And the moment of that shift was when, you know, you could no longer do in-person performances. We were limited on our, we meaning songwriters and musicians, were limited on our capacity to record at studios and write with others. Yet at the same time, it bubbled up this opportunity for me to write music for film and TV, which, crazy enough, had been something I had been wanting to do for most of my career, but struggling to find the door of opportunity and how I could break into that. So just last year, I believe, like early last fall, I started working with a songwriting camp focused on film and TV. And through that writing camp experience, which was held virtually on Zoom, I was working with different songwriters and producers, and also getting to know TV writers, producers, and the music supervisors who are responsible for selecting music that goes into these TV shows. So, alhamdulillah, right place, right time, I could be open to this opportunity that came through to me and have the time to participate. And so one of the briefs I got, so we get these project briefs, which can range from, you know, a spot for a restaurant or an ad for Target, all different genres of music, which as a songwriter is so exciting for me to work in different genres. But I got this brief, which was focused on the theme of heartache and the theme of this fear of a moment around the corner where you weren't sure how you were going to address it and how what would happen. And so the mystery, the slow burn of this emotional scene, and out of that description of this scene, my team and I wrote the song Before It Hurts. So we wrote that just last, this past summer in June, we wrote it. I recorded it at my home, which I had transformed into a studio at home, which the pandemic necessitated. So I recorded it at home. We worked online virtually to finish it. And I wasn't even necessarily intending it for this song to become one of my artist projects. I was doing it, you know, just to see what would happen in this experience. But it instantly connected with the music supervisor. She loved it and she wanted to use it. And it pivoted us to release it and get it done. And it's been pretty special because, you know, when I was young, when I was 4 years old, I would play guitar and I would write these songs. And from four into my adulthood, I always loved the acoustic-based, almost more stripped-down, organic style of music, but I was unsure if I could be successful as an artist in that space. But this moment, with a song that is in that space, that is true to my heart, for it to have this recognition and this success is a sign to me, and it's not a sign that goes unnoticed. You know, to follow, you know, what's in your heart and what does feel natural to you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's excellent. So it seems like an early release, they made you an offer that you couldn't refuse then, Naima.
Yes, and it happened so quickly from the time that we were told about the interest and the time that it had to come together. So, but thankfully, nimble enough to respond, and we put it through the queue to release, and it was out just in time.
Alhamdulillah. You know, and it's a beautiful song, and all of your songs are beautiful, and they're so substantive. Information. I want to just say something that I learned from Imam Muhammad was years ago. He made the statement, you know, and it's a very profound statement. He said, you know, he said, we can draw more people to our way of life through culture than an imam giving a khutbah. Mm-hmm. And I had to let that kind of resonate in my mind. But after just giving and reflecting on that statement that we can draw more people to our way of life through culture than a khutbah, Allah blessed me to easily come to the conclusion how valuable culture is because it actually expresses our values and our principles in the culture. We oftentimes will say food and how we dress and of course, the various types of maybe say entertainments, the arts and all that. And as you are a recording artist and a writer, but the power influence that it can and it does have on people who are not even Muslims can be astounding in that regard. So, and it always amazed me, not only in terms of the words, but how artists actually come up with the name of the song. Was it any special thing that went through your mind in terms of putting that label on them Before It Hurts?
Yeah, and if I could just piggyback off of what you said in the power and responsibility of those who have a platform in pop culture and the arts and entertainment. So there is a responsibility, and, you know, we pray as Muslims, and we hope that we use that wisely, and we use that as an opportunity to introduce those who might not otherwise see us and hear us, you know? So
yes,
that is very important. So I just wanted to address that. But yeah, so I mean, on the songwriting side, oh man, if only I could know. It is such a
Do you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, something hits you and you have to put pen to paper or what?
Yeah. And sometimes those, and I have to say, these one-liners, like the hook, so "Before It Hurts," "Born to Be a Fighter," these key messages are in my soul, and I don't know how to explain it other than I feel grateful that I'm open to hear them and receive them, to get that message down on pen and paper and into song. But it's, you know, it's all about just getting at the core of that mm-hmm. message and setting that scene instantly through what that title for that song becomes. And it's as much a felt skill as it is a learned skill. And at this stage in my career, I'm blessed to have both at this point. But it was not easy. I wasn't always here. So if anyone's listening who is a songwriter or just beginning, I promise you, if you're not there yet, it will come. Just keep working at it.
yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, alhamdulillah. We want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable, that is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest, Naima Muhammad, very distinguished, esteemed songwriter and also recording artist, and we're talking about some of our latest productions here. And so at any point in time, if you have questions and comments that you'd like to make, and we want to make sure that she feels at home here on MGM Roundtable, and also we want to let her know how much we really appreciate her, because we're going to be talking about some of the other things that she just mentioned, Born to Be a Fighter. We're going to look at that and in her latest production and some of the other things that she's been able to accomplish in her young life. You know, we don't want to give away her age unless she just wants to have a church let us know. we can hear the zeal in her voice and the enthusiasm, the passion for what it is that she does. And I think this is so very, very important as she giving kudos to her mother, Fitra Muhammad, for being such an encouragement and very inspirational in her life. And we can see how important and valuable that is, where our children can just go to the top, you know, in whatever endeavor it is that they undertake. So please don't hesitate. All you have to do is press 1 on your keypad, and my engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me that we have a call in the queue. Let's go back and look at this here, Naima, because I got plenty of questions. One thing anybody know about me, I don't run out of questions. So if the audience don't have any questions, I always got questions. And I'm really enjoying the information you're disseminating, as this is Women's History Month, and you're making history in terms of your productions. And also, as you say, it's not just a whim. You've actually been groomed. You've learned something about this religion, this way of life, and it's reflected in your music, and you're embodying, I think, very valuable principles in all. This not only comes to the Muslim community, but for all that listen in to your music. Born to Be a Fighter. Wow. When I heard that, I was like, whoa. It's a type of name or title of a song that really is intriguing, that make you want to listen, Born to Be a Fighter, you know. And the reason I say that is that so many people, it probably resonate with, because their life, they'll probably tell you that they've been just fighting all of their life, even the very inception of life. So please give us a little background this outstanding production that you, I've always blessed you to be able to give.
Thank you. And I'm so happy to dive into that song, Born to Be a Fighter. It was the first song that I released during the pandemic, which is so the first song released in the pandemic almost a year ago, last February. And it was very intentional to release that song during Black History Month. That was very important to me. The concept, this message of Born to Be a Fighter, I took it away as a meaning of resilience, strength, and determination. And when I released it during Black History Month, the plan and what I ended up doing was rolling the opportunity in Black History Month just a week before Women's History Month to use it as an opportunity to highlight Black women throughout time across cultures, American, Black women in Europe, Black women in Africa, so across the globe, Black women who have spoken up for justice, dignity, and our human rights, and who have paved the way for those to come. So this song, you know, it was my first big anthem song recorded at home. It tested me as much as I tested that song as I was writing it to really, really try to capture this power and this self-respect and self-power that I wanted whoever was listening to it to be able to feel that and channel it as they were listening to it and as they were speaking the words back. So when the song was released, I did a whole social media campaign where I shared factoids about women leaders. I included Sister Clara Muhammad, which was very special to me.
Yes.
Angela
yes.
Davis, Sojourner Truth, all these women. I took over my social media pages, which was a first for me. I completely stepped out of the light, and I gave it to others. Like, I wanted to educate my audience who might not be familiar with my journey as a Muslim, as an African-American Muslim. So I used it to educate them. And I also created a lyric video in which I featured women across backgrounds, across cultures. And it was also important to me to feature Muslim women from a diverse background, diverse industries, and diverse, you know, achievements so that I could use this, and like we talked about the power of the platform, this was my moment to use that wisely and thoughtfully because, you know, there's a misrepresentation of what Muslim is and what Muslim looks like, and I wanted to be a part of the voice that's saying there is not one, we do not look like one way, you know, and we all matter, we're here, we're going to stay, and we're part of the culture. So it was really, really spectacular moment for me, and I was grateful for the success and support from both the community and outside of the community for this project, for this song, and I'm excited that it'll be making its way on TV. Everything goes well, inshallah, this year. It's just very special, and it's like the power of music. We all hope, and I hope, I've always wanted to make change and be useful in the gift that I'm given, and this gift being through music. I always, like, it's nice to see a moment like this where it starts to come together, where you see what you can do and how you can inspire, and I'm just grateful that I could be a part of this and create this and get it out in the world, because not everyone can.
Yes.
It's hard, but I feel very grateful.
Yes, alhamdulillah, and you know, I tell you, when I listen to that, I'm like, oh, my God, it's like oh my God, you know, it's just kind of gave me chills, to be quite honest with you. This type of music, in terms of actually acknowledging and recognizing those persons from the past, you know, this is something, as you say, it's songwriting. You have such a beautiful voice, but it's also very educational, as you said. And what your motivation is in terms of educating the people. This is unlike what we see in the secular society today, It's not about really educating the people, even our young writers, you know, hip-hop and all of that. And I don't have anything against rap, because I think that it could be utilized in a positive way. As you know, Imam Muhammad popularized the saying, words make people. And boy, you know, the power and influence, as you said, is so eloquently articulated in terms of music. You know, people listen to music and the lyrics and all that, what's going into the mind. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't select, as the Imam said. We should select what goes into our mind. And so when I hear productions like this, you know, I'm just thrilled to hear it and to know that it's coming from someone in our own community, birth in our community, and all. It's just, as you use the word, spectacular in what it is to Allah has blessed you to be able to give to us. So reviews. Talk to a little bit about reviews. You know, I know that you did a, you know, I would say almost a worldwide, it seemed like, promotion of that, and there was others that obviously helped in terms of getting that out. So what type of reviews, Naima?
Yeah, and Brother Shahid, this is where, like you said, you know, because it's, dare I say, it's easy, fast, and cheap to make music that is doesn't necessarily come from a place of fully being thoughtful and fully intentional. But the problem is that fast, quick making music is what is booming and creating the money. So that's where the power, I believe, the power of community and the power of individuals to show the industry that they are hungry for content that is different, content that is thoughtful, content that has integrity. Like, the power is in your hands, the power is in my hands, the power is in every listener here to support those artists who are trying to cut through the quick and fast stuff and taking the long road. But we need support. And so, like you said, these reviews, sharing the music with your, whether it's your family or your friends, your colleagues, it's listening on Spotify or Apple Music, YouTube, it's leaving a positive comment, it's liking the song, all of that on the community and individual level is extremely integral and important to helping us make a way and pave a way and change where the industry is now. And I think that there is an undercurrent of that desire and interest, and we need to make it happen. I will say that first, and I hope I've inspired someone on this line to take an action. I am on Spotify and Apple Music, I will say that. you know, having my music reviewed and featured on Spotify, so like my recent song, Before It Hurts, getting on these editorial playlists is a dime a dozen. It's very challenging to get there. And with every release, you submit your music to make it through the queue. And this was Before It Hurts was just a special one where someone heard it on Spotify, which is the major music streaming platform. Someone heard it, someone supported it, and ended up putting it on 5 or 6 of Spotify's editorial playlists. And as a result, the song reached like over 40,000 streams in 3 days, which had, you know, my Born to Be a Fighter song took a year to reach that. So it just shows the power of visibility. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, the content has to be there. And I think, you know, whenever the ingenuity, the creativity, the substantive information there actually provides education, you have to be bold and courageous, you know, because a lot of aspiring song artists, they're just in terms of the conformity, you know, conforming to what it is that others are doing, and they're just trying to outdo them, but there's no substantive or content in the music, and you're hearing the same old thing over, and it's not as I remember from my era, the Mighty OJs. There's no message, and there's no real message in the music.
Yeah, and it's scary as a musician and as a person of faith who, you know, I strongly am invested in my faith and how that manifests itself in my career. But I always think the Quran, the life of the Prophet Muhammad, and my conversations with my mom, that we are each given these God-given gifts. And
yes.
It manifests, you get signs that tell you that you're on the right path, and you're reminded when you're not. So when I feel like the more I dig deeper into like the natural state and making sure that what I'm doing with my music, with my communication, with my career is in alignment with my spiritual self, I
yes.
see more doors opening than when I'm not, when I'm afraid to let that happen, when I'm afraid of what
mm-hmm.
that might mean for my career. So I'm like stripping all those fears and those layers of like worry. And the more I just be myself, honestly, the better this whole thing becomes. So I think that's where that trust and where that belief comes in, and knowing that like my gift is not the same as someone else's gift. It can't be. It's mine, you know, and I have a responsibility to see that out and to value that as my role here on earth. And I can only hope that I do justice to that, and that if that inspires a young woman, a young girl, young Muslim girl to become
yes.
a singer-songwriter, that's great. If it inspires
yes.
someone to risk and take the chance on their dreams, that's great. You know, I think we all have to really be in tune with ourselves and with our spirits.
Yes, alhamdulillah, very well said. I already know that you are inspiring, so that's been an objective from the very beginning. Allah has blessed you to be able to do that. It's a word, tolerance, is that word fear. Let me give you what I call the courageous fear, Naima.
Mm-hmm.
It's face everything and rise. The coward fear is forget everything and run. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so
yeah.
we want to, that's how we grow, when we face everything and rise, because to be able to accomplish anything, there will be difficulties and there'll be challenges, but if we face everything in that process, we'll
mm-hmm.
actually grow. That brings about the maturation. Before we go to your most, I would say your latest production here, Finding the Dawn, I want to go and check with our engineer, Rashid Salam, to see if, in fact, we have any callers in the queue to raise their hand, maybe want to ask a question, make a comment, or just want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable and let you know how proud they are of you and what it is that you have undertaken, because this is it's something that you don't always see, and for you to be a product of our community, that's really exceptional. So I'm quite sure our radio listening audience want to say something. And you can do that by pressing 1. Those who may be listening by way of the Internet, I know a lot of you listen by way of the Internet, for you to participate in the MGM Roundtable and to be able to ask a question, make a comment to our very distinguished guests tonight, you have to call in to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the call-in number to the studio, IWDM Radio, is 714-816-4673. Our very distinguished guest, Naima Muhammad, has joined us here tonight and given us excellent information in regards to her professional career and what has inspired her to do what it is that she's already done. Rashid Salam, do we have anybody with their hands up want to ask a question or make a comment before I continue on with this interview, or do you have a question or want to make
yes.
a comment, Rashid Salam?
Yes, sir. We do have a hand raised, and before I'm just going to put this in the back of your mind, I wanted to talk about the lyric videos, and the message music is basically the thing that's really happening right now. So I just want to events before the night's over.
Yeah, well, yeah, we can put that on her mind, and she can come back and answer that.
And let me get you. I do have a hand.
We got a caller on Naima, and we'll take the caller. So just keep that in mind. You'll get an opportunity to respond to that question.
Yes, sir.
Let's go, Rashid. Okay. Who do we have, and what do they have on their mind tonight?
Yes, sir. We have 636-383. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Abdul Rahim Sabir from Mercyville, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum to you and your guest.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Sabir. And from the STL. You have a question or comment for our very distinguished guest, Naima Muhammad?
Yes, I have a question and a comment. I didn't get this. Yes, what is your music style? I didn't catch that when I first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have been saying that it is alternative pop. So my influences as an artist range from folk, R&B, soul, and a little rock. And that all kind of manifests itself in the music I do. So alternative pop, let's say that.
Okay. And I first heard you at Time to Be Graceful in Washington in 2017. And,
I miss
you did
those days. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. And you did Marvin Gaye's What's
mm-hmm.
Going On song. And as they say on The Voice, you made it your own.
Yes.
and
that's like, those are the type of songs that we need to make today, right? We need to make those messages that stand the test of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you for
know that.
Being here.
Yes, he was in Washington, D.C., and I know because he's from this community. I also was in Washington, D.C., so I'm doing
that.
You're becoming very well known in this community, Naima. I'm so grateful. I think you're very much aware of it. Anything else you want to say to her, Brother Sabir? Any other question or comment?
No, that's it. And I would just encourage her to continue on the path she's on.
Thank you so much, Brother Sabir, for calling in and sharing that with us and those encouraging words. We always and we like to hear more of that coming, you know, from our community. This is, you know, we just left the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Life.
I'm bringing that over.
And so, you know, trying to get our people to start to want to encourage, you know, the Prophet Muhammad. I got to say this, and then we're going to go to the next caller. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there's never a time in a believer's life that they can't give sadaqah if it's just no more than just a smile. A smile means that you're giving approval, and we can always give encouragement, and we should always want to give encouragement to our young people. So this is your opportunity to do that. If you're listening, I know you can call up and give a greeting and give a word of encouragement. I know you can do it, so press 1. We want to hear from you. I know our beloved sister, Naima Muhammad, would love to hear from you. Let's go, Rashid. You got somebody else in the queue there?
Yes, we do. We have 321-917. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, peace and blessings. Elise Umar Phillips here in Melbourne, Florida. Yes, we're listening to Sister Naima, and so pleased to hear that you're challenging the industry like that. And really, really would like to make sure I can get your music. Because it sounds very powerful. Just wanted to share that. We are very happy for you and see that you're challenging the system. So praise be to Allah. Continue on and keep it moving strong like you're doing. So, thank you so much for that.
I might start using that line. I think we got another songwriter here.
Well, you guys, we letting you all have this opportunity, which is your world. We want you to rock it, like just keep it moving.
Yes, that's the energy really do. We need champions of this movement and of, yeah, you know, those, myself, my peers who are trying to cut through and make the change in the industry. But I would be remiss if I did not say my website, which I forgot to do earlier.
Oh, we're going to give, you're going to get an opportunity. No, you can go ahead and say it now, but before you leave, you're going to get that opportunity to give all your information, websites, emails, whatever it is you want to give.
Perfect.
Yes, ma'am.
Definitely for us older folks, you got to repeat things more than once.
Yes, exactly.
No,
yes.
Go ahead, Naima, because Imam Delacy Umar, he's interested in getting that. So you can give it now, and then before we close out, I'm going to give you opportunity to give it again.
Yep, perfect. So it's Naima, N-A-I-M-A-H, music, M-U-S-I-C.com. So that's Naima Music. And everything across Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, everything is my first name, Naima, N-A-I-M-A-H.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, Imam Omar, for calling in. Yeah, well, like my son, we certainly appreciate you calling in and for the comments that you gave to her and the encouragement. You know, I don't care how long you've been doing something, it's always good to hear an encouraging voice. And from our pioneers, as Imam Delacy Umar is, and he's also a very distinguished, esteemed host of our sister station, AM 360. And every Saturday, Naima, he hosts a show, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Yeah. And he hosts that every Saturday morning on AM 360 at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Central. And, of course, you're on the West Coast there. It'll be 7 a.m. That's pretty early, but it's an outstanding. Yeah. Yes. So, thank you, Imam Delacy Umar, for calling in. And we'll make sure you get. Please press 1 as you go out the queue there, and we'll keep the studio clear. Okay, Rashid, do we have another caller in the queue?
Yes, we do. We have 202-425. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Oh, I think I might know who that is.
Oh, boy.
I want you to say your whole name, too, please. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
And who are you?
And I am, my name is Fitra Muhammad.
Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You have a question, a comment for our very distinguished guest, Naima Muhammad?
I do have a question. Naima, I'd like to know, when did you discover, when did you realize that you had the ability to write? Was there a particular experience in your life? What turned the light on for you about writing? Because that's a difficult. I try to write all the time, and I've tried to write to music. I've never been able to do that. So I was just wondering what brought you to this point.
Excellent question.
That is an excellent question. And it kind of feeds into that paying attention in the spirit of what's cooking. But I have always heard melodies. So I've always, they are in my head all the time. I'm always humming something. I hear messages as song. So it's part of my way of communicating. And I think when I was in about eighth grade, when I turned a poem, I sat down on my guitar and I turned that poem into a song, it started to make sense that I could take the short stories that I was writing, I could take the poems that I was writing, and I could start turning them into the things that I had been humming. And that brought the two worlds together of storytelling and melody into that, this path of singer-songwriter. And I distinctly remember that in eighth grade, had a new guitar, I had a bunch of poems, and I was trying to start figuring it out, and it just clicked in that moment.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's so special because I feel like people, painters see, you know, I don't know how a painter paints. Like, we all have these different ways of seeing the world and communicating that I could not make sense of other than it being the gift that we're given. So, it's having that gift, but having the space of someone like my mother, like my community, who encouraged me to be able to explore that so I could really find that out through that exploration, that it really existed and that I really connected with singing and songwriting. Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. So
yes.
how much influence did school have on and support mm-hmm. your gift? How much influence did school support your gift?
A lot. I was in all of the chorus singing groups, any musical group. I played guitar and clarinet. I was in the bands. I was in jazz bands. I was in the singing classes. I was in musical theater, performing arts, and having being able to be a part of a performing arts program at school, as well as being exposed to literature, whether it be Toni Morrison, whether it be Sylvia Plath, different types of writers. I think those two worlds came together in school, you know, being exposed to both writing and music at that young age. And having that infrastructure at school and programs that kept me in it, kept me studying, and taught me how to navigate that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Any more questions, Fletcher? Any comments?
No, that was it. Thank you very much, and thank you for having her on, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Fetra. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Press one as you go out. Those are some excellent questions that your mother asked. Mm-hmm. You know, we got another caller. Okay. They lined up like 10 soldiers here, Naima. Okay, let's go to the other caller and see what they have in form of a question or comment to you, Naima.
Okay, we have 314-305. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
I'm from St. Louis. How is everyone?
I'm the SDL. Okay.
Yes.
Who are you? What's your name?
Sister Donna. And,
Donna, you got a question for Naima?
Well, what I want to say is I've enjoyed this program. Naima,
you have a very powerful
tool. Music can express things that speech can't. And music can express things that even sight can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very, very powerful. Now, the thing that I'm calling to ask is that I hope this show does not go off without us hearing her song.
I know. Are we going to play something? That's a great question.
But I'm going to put it on the engineer, and the engineer is still growing here at IWDM Radio, and so we have to say that's an oversight, but we do apologize for not having that. But this is a part of the growth and development here on IWDM Radio.
But you know what?
Naima
has the means to do it. I'm sure she could give us a little bit of something on her end, right?
Oh, maybe like through my computer. I don't know what that's going to sound like, you know.
Well, artists are very, very... very particular, you know, in terms of how it sounds. Yeah, you know, so, but if you think that will come across very well, we do invite you to give us a little something of that, but This won't be your first and last time to the MGM roundtable. So I'd like to assure you that the next time that you make an appearance, we want to make sure that we have a couple of the, at least two or three of the productions that you continue to produce,
mm-hmm.
this outstanding music that we have on you and everything here on IWDM radio, so that our radio listening audience, if they haven't heard it, they have an opportunity to hear it. So just
and maybe if there's an opportunity, if this is recorded and saved on the website, maybe we can put a link where the listeners can listen from the website, where it'll
definitely
be the most clear.
Yes.
We'll definitely be able to
Perfect.
Furnish you with the link. Yes, ma'am.
Perfect.
It is being recorded. Yes. Okay.
Awesome.
All right, ma'am. So thank you so much, Sister Donna. Assalamu alaikum. Please press 1 as you go out the queue and everything. Wow, I tell you, Naima, you know, you had quite a few calls here and some interesting questions and requests and
mm-hmm.
all of this. I did want to get this latest production, Finding the Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
This production also is an outstanding production, and your inspiration for this production and how long did it take for you to put that together? You know, I'm always intrigued, you know, like your mother. You know, I'm a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a singer. I couldn't hold a note if you glued it to me. I'd lose it, you know. But I always have had great admiration for those that Allah has a beautiful voice and also artistic ability to write. Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Rashid? Were you trying to say something? Okay, I guess not.
That wasn't me, Mark. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought it was. Make sure all the mics are closed there. This latest production, give us a little bit about that. How do you come about this here? And I know,
mm-hmm.
you know, some eccentric times, a lot of times for artists and what comes to mind, they see something that trigger something
mm-hmm.
in their mind to first get the name of the production or what it is that they're producing. Or do they name it afterwards? Which come? The baby's born first, and then you give the name, or give the name first?
In this case, I think, the metaphorical baby was birthed first.
Okay.
The song came first. The melody came first, and the concept came out of it. And then it brought me to the line of Find the Dawn. And this is one of my more personal stories, like a healing process, I guess I'll say. My uncle who had passed away, and he was a really, really major influence in my journey to music and
mm-hmm.
in my mentorship as a musician. And I, over the summer, I was a little worried to come back to music and to have lost one of the person in addition to my mother that I would have shared new material with. So I was honestly scared, to be honest. And I got up one day, and it was the day that I had a writing session that I had been a little nervous to get to. And within 5 minutes, this song came to me, through me, from top to bottom. The words instantly came to me. And so I think I needed to hear this message. So Find the Dawn, the message being, you know, to overcome that struggle, to overcome the fear and know that there is that light ahead, that you do have the ability and the power to heal, that there are those around you that can help you heal, and that you're not alone, and that you have strength that's in you. You just need to tap into it. And so I needed to hear that, and I found out later that other people needed to hear it. So, and that's the power of music. You speak for yourself, you speak for others, and you hope that you're doing double duty of providing someone else an outlet as much as those words are an outlet for yourself. So I wrote the song very quickly. My co-writer and I produced it. We recorded it. And another special part of this particular journey, my husband is a graphic designer, and he and I completely designed the whole presentation around Find the Dawn, from the visuals, from the look and feel. We created another short video. He also did Born to be a Fighter with me. But it just felt like a very personal honoring of my uncle, and an honoring of the role of music as a healing power. It's a powerful song, Find the Dawn. It's not a sad song. It's like an uplifting,
yes,
you got this song, you know? And I hope everyone will listen to it after this and feel that themselves.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, something very powerful that you just said, Naima. You know, oftentimes when things come from us, and I've listened to artists from way back or what, oftentimes they're expressing of themselves, their life journey in songs. And, of course, when they do that, just as you just eloquently articulated, it resonates with some people more so than others because of the commonality in which they share in that too. So you're reaching people that have that commonality with you, and that closeness, you know, that they feel. It's like our language is like, I feel you, you know, I really do understand where you're coming from, and it's expressed in those words because it's a similar experience that they actually have shared. And I know, boy, I tell you, your uncle would have been extremely proud of you also.
Thank you.
I want to ask this, a couple other questions, and then we're gonna look to wind down. In terms of the things that you have been blessed to do, and we haven't been able to cover all of them because of the time, so I definitely want to let you know, definitely want to get you back again and to continue, because there's never enough time to ask all the questions, and there's never enough time to give all the answers, you know. So this is a way in terms of keeping the door open for another invitation back to the MGM Roundtable here with me. But all of that you have been blessed to do and places and people that you found, and all of this here, what's the most outstanding that really stands out in your mind to this point when I ask you that? And then the second question that I want to ask you before you go, what is it that you're looking forward to, futuristic, stuff that you really have a burning desire to want to accomplish in your career? So let's take number one, A, first.
Yeah, those are two really, really great questions. I'm going to try to unpack it and not take too much time. But so the first one, my mother provided opportunities for me to travel since I was young. So I say that because travel exposure to other cultures, to other languages, to other rhythms, all of that, I truly believe I have taken up as a sponge, and it's reflected in how my music does kind of touch on this kind of universal world type of sound where you can't quite identify it. It's not really boxed into one thing, and yet it's approachable and understandable across so many different communities and so many different places around the world. And I see that in my audience as I look, you know, I get data about who my listeners are, and they are all over the world. So travel, when I was younger, I thought if I wasn't going to be a singer and a songwriter, I was going to be an ambassador, because I always had this love of working with different people and bridging these gaps between people across like all these different communication barriers, whatever it is. I wanted to be a representative and someone that can touch hearts and work with other people. And I'm not an ambassador, but I am through music, inshallah, I hope. And I hope to travel again as we, you know, as we clear out of this pandemic. I want to travel again and have my music reflect that and be inspired by those exposures and that opportunity. So that's a really, really big one for me. We went to Egypt. We've gone, of course, to Mecca, Medina. We've gone to France. I love France. I love Spain. You know, I've seen how people of all religions come together and work together in ways that, you know, you don't know until you know. So all that's been really, really important to me. And I pray that everyone gets an opportunity or some level of opportunity and exposure like that, inshallah, in their lifetime. So that's part one. And part two, goals of career. So,
yes.
So one thing I'm embarking on in this next year or year and a half, I'm actually going to be trying to submit my music for nomination in the Grammys. And the only way of doing that is by having, the only way I can do that is through a number of releases in a year and also a number of streams. So again, viewership, the listening, the sharing, all of that foundational legwork between now and the next few months is so important for me to be able to be prepared to take that step to apply and to submit my songs for consideration. So you heard it first, and you won't hear, this isn't the last I will be mentioning this, because I will need the support of my community to filter these songs up to be considered for even consideration to be nominated. That is a dream, a goal, and I will start part one of that, inshallah, this year.
And I want to just say to you, Naima, however I can be a helping assistance in that, you can count me in. And I want to say also that when you say you had aspiration of being an ambassador, you are an ambassador. You, Allah bless you to be able to get two in one. So you are an ambassador, and you are an ambassador for us and what it is that we represent. And I can't say how proud I am of you. And I didn't forget our beloved engineer, Rashid Salam, here. He had a question, and I don't want him to tar and feather me after the program for forgetting his question. And I'm going to give him the opportunity, because you know how engineers are. They're very, very, very sensitive. I don't know if you know that or not, but they're very sensitive. They won't buy you lunch for weeks or something. I'm expecting lunch out of him. He don't know that, but I'm expecting lunch out of him. So, Rashid, if you would ask that question again, and let's give our beloved sister the opportunity to respond to your question. I thought it was a very excellent question that you asked.
I was talking about message music, and she mentioned lyric videos, which is really something I'm interested in. I'm going to let you answer that question, but I want an opportunity to share something with you that may take you to take this whole thing to another level. I'm promoting a women's program right now called Be a Champion for Women. And the program states that when women lead, families succeed. And the other part of that is we'll never rise any higher as a nation until we raise our women in high esteem. So I do want to talk to you about that on the business side. But in the meantime, if you can explain this lyric video to me, or just share a little bit about it, or we can do this on another time. I don't want to take up too much of the time. But
no,
it's something
that you
brought up. No, I'll jump in. And it's perfect because so lyric videos, just for the audience who might not be familiar yet, the lyric videos are an opportunity to highlight the lyrics that are in a song in a video in a very, like, visual kind of manner. So it's like a music video, but it's with the lyrics. And so me, as a writer, who is, like, a writer first, I'll say, like, I love lyric videos because it's a time, you know, for those words to really shine. So Born to Be a Fighter, I had did the lyric video for where I had the lyrics, but I also featured, you know, footage of different women throughout history. And I'm actually preparing another lyric video to be released in April on my YouTube channel for a song that I am releasing next month called Whose Side Are You On? And I don't know if I could get a more timely title person. Whose side are you on? But that's a project I am working on now that I look forward to sharing next month, inshallah.
Okay, excellent.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. For that, that's an excellent question. Thank you, Naima, for that answer. Now I want to give you the last few minutes, whatever it is that you like to leave with our radio listening audience. We also want to give you opportunity for contact information or what, how you can be supported, how the radio listening audience can be supportive of what it is that you're doing. And all of that, any and all information that you like to disseminate, you have that opportunity, and any parting remarks that you'd like to leave with the IWDM radio listening audience. Naima?
Yes, first I want to send this message to the parents, and that message is if you have kids that are interested in music or you're interested in music or how to help your child navigate their music and their career in the arts, I want to invite you to contact me at Naima, N-A-I-M-A-H, music, M-U-S-I-C, that's Naima Music at gmail.com. I didn't have a lot of mentors, Muslim mentors in music growing up, and, you know, we got to forge together to create that for the next generation, and so I would love to help in that capacity. If anyone wants to contact me, you have that too, naimamusic@gmail.com. And then please, I want to invite you to listen to my music on my website, naimamusic.com.
I can't listen to you talk.
You want to what?
Why in the hell?
Oh, is that a listener? Is that someone still on there?
I just closed it out. Someone raised their hand, and I just opened their mic up, but I expect that.
They wanted to ask
a question really badly.
Go ahead.
But yeah, so naimamusic.com, and then on Apple Music, on Spotify, on iTunes, everything is under Naima, N-A-I-M-A-H. And then, Brother Shahid, I want to thank you for providing me this opportunity to speak with you, but also for recognizing the role of the arts in our community and giving it the attention it needs, because sometimes I feel like often the arts get overlooked in these conversations, and I appreciate being included and knowing that there is a platform and there is that support within our community. I think those are my closing remarks. I'm very grateful to be here.
Alhamdulillah, you know, and I want to say how much I appreciate you, and as you heard from some of our radio listening audience here, how much they appreciate you, and we want you to continue to rise and rise, because, you know, back in the day, Naima, it used to be that when one of us succeeded, all of us succeeded, and that was the spirit of our people. And this is something that we have to recapture, you know, for us to be progressivist people. When one succeeds, we all succeed. When you succeed, we succeed. So that means that we should be willing to support you and what it is that you're doing. And all. Matter of fact, this is not Mark Shahid saying this. Allah has said it in the Quran when he has said to us, that we are to enjoin all that is good. And so I see this as good. Those who are going to be reading the Quran, and hopefully we all be reading coming up to the month of Ramadan, as we fast in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran, please, when you get to the ayat, make sure that you ingest it, but also digest it, internalize that we are to enjoin in all that's good. And what it is that Allah has blessed you to be able to do in your young career is good. And I support any and all good. So, alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for you. I thank Allah for you accepting my invitation. Thank your mother, Fitra Muhammad, always. That's my good friend, always. And we most certainly have an open door policy. And most certainly we'll be inviting you back to the MGM Roundtable in the very near future. And so we want you to keep up the great work and keep us abreast of what it is that you're actually doing because you are a rising star, and you're getting out information that oftentimes we're not able to get out, and you're reaching people that we're not able to reach, you know, in this industry. So keep up the great work. May Allah continue to bless you richly. Any parting remarks that you'd like to leave, please do so.
No, I mean, I think you said it best. And at this point, I mean, I think we take it from here knowing that we're a little bit more connected than we were when we started. And we know the work that we have to do. There's more work to do. Let's champion our young artists, our young writers, our young filmmakers. And I hope that I can be one part of that ongoing journey and one part of the thread of our representation of Muslims in culture and Muslims in the U.S. And I pray that everyone has a blessed and great Ramadan ahead. I am looking forward to Ramadan. And I look forward to continuing this conversation with you, Brother Mark Shahid.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Naima Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, and may Allah bless you with a blessed Ramadan, too, and your family. And to that, we say, I mean, thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you and us richly. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
So there you have it. The MGM Roundtable with our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Naima Muhammad, joined us. And what a delight in interviewing her. So refreshing to know and to hear all the things that she has done, she's doing, and she looks forward to doing. She represents our community. And also, it's been an honor to have her here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, as we are still in the month of Women's History. And most certainly, Naima Muhammad is making history. So with that being said, I want to close out by thanking our radio listening audience tonight for your attention in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab earlier with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and myself. And listening in and your participation, and most certainly the MGM Roundtable. This is a Muslim Global Message Roundtable where we want to send the Muslim message globally around the world in terms of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad and other outstanding people that I'll be interviewing for the rest of this year at the Roundtable. And also I will be taking on some topics that are pertinent to us, so look forward to that upcoming the roundtable. We're also going to be looking at during the month of Ramadan, maybe switching the MGM roundtable just for the month of Ramadan to Saturday. Saturday, we're looking at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and high noon Central Standard Time, and it'll be 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. I kind of looked at the schedule of some of the persons, study al-Islam and all, so it's not in a conflict with any of the other productions that have already established a time that they will have their productions on, so that the continuity during Ramadan can be smooth as we go from one platform to another. And there's a lot of Quran reading, a lot of information during the time of Ramadan. We want to have a presence here on IWDM Radio, as I will be inviting very outstanding intellects in our community. And the theme, as it has been for the last 3 or 4 years, even with our sister station, AM 360 Radio, it would be fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. You wouldn't want to miss those productions in terms of that. So look forward to confirmation of that time next week, and I will be announcing it tomorrow. So here on IWDM Radio tomorrow, as we said earlier, we ask that you do come back for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL. She'll be joining yours truly, Mark Shahid. And that'll start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as we'll be continuing on the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. So, you know, hey, this is a family affair, so don't come by yourself. You know there are people out there in your family, friends, associates, neighbors, community members. Invite them to tune in and listen in. Guaranteed you'll learn something. Bring an open mind, an open heart, and bring your pen and pad. There will be some noteworthy things that will be said. I will assure you of that, inshallah. And so on Friday is, we know around the world, it is Salatul Jumu'ah Day. And for those who are immobilized and can't get out and about, we ask that you do come back to IWDM Radio and sharing the Salatul Jumu'ah with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, the longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, Salatul Jumu'ah with Imam Mikhail Sayer. Also, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio happens this Sunday on Words Make People. Once again, this is a very distinguished, esteemed host of Words Make People, Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, that will have always some intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. We ask that you do tune in. It's always a very interesting informational, educational production here, and that happens each and every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And for this month of Shaban, that's leading in to the month of Ramadan, we have scheduled three IWDM specials with the very distinguished and esteemed host of that, Rashid Salam, and his returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, along with the national convener of imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, joined him last Monday. And this Monday, it's the second of that series in preparing for Ramadan and beyond. Preparing for Ramadan and beyond is the name of that. And so this starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Monday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time this Monday, and 4 p.m. for those on the West Coast this Monday. This will be the second in a series leading up to Ramadan. So if you want to know about preparing for Ramadan and beyond, so this information will help you during the month of Ramadan and beyond. This is an excellent opportunity to ask our national convener questions. We talked about the sighting of the new Hilal in terms of the new moon and all of that, and other pertinent information as Rashid Salam hosts that. And then you'll have an opportunity more in the third Monday, which will be following this Monday. I think it'll be the 28th, if I'm not mistaken, the third Monday, where it'll be a Q&A session. And you'll have opportunity to ask all of the questions that you like in regards to that, and also in terms of your health, the science of your health and you, with instructor Abdul Shaheed. So a lot of great information on these specials in the month of Shaban leading up to the month of Ramadan. So let's be prepared in every aspect so you can get that right here on IWDM Radio for the next two Mondays. And then following that, the regular schedule program, which is a science of your health and you, hosted by a very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, each and every Tuesday night that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time in terms of looking at the science of your health and you learning lab. Bring an open mind, open heart, but bring your pen and pad. I guarantee you, you may have a whole notebook of notes a bit before you leave this learning lab. And they want you to not only come by yourself, but it's a family affair. Bring the whole family, the immediate family and the extended family. Make sure that you tune in, you listen in to this exciting, exhilarating, but also informational, educational learning lab each and every Tuesday. And, of course, we're back to the night, which is Wednesday, with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as we continue the accelerated version of the 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader. And next week, we're going to be on one that is very, very important, which would be number 18, which is self-discipline. The first person that you lead is yourself. So the self-discipline, and what an essential quality that is. This could actually help save many of our young people's life if they leave out of their homes with that quality intact, self-discipline. So please tune in. And that happens at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. As you just heard, our very distinguished, esteemed guest tonight, Naima Muhammad, songwriter and recording artist, join us here tonight. And we're going to have another outstanding guest. And, yes, this is Women's History Month, and it's going to be another sister. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. That means you have to come back and find out for yourself. Next Wednesday on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And so, with that being said, we also want to advise you to listen in to Study Al-Islam as our beloved sister and friend, Fitra Muhammad, the founder and CEO of the Study Al-Islam production, as is taking a little brief break here, but been informed that they will start a little early in terms of the presentation starting March the 30th. Please take note of that, March the 30th. And they're going to have some of the most outstanding intellects in our community that is going to be making presentations on the 99 known attributes. You notice I said known attributes. We can never limit Allah to any number in that regard. But the 99 known attributes of Allah, and so you don't want to miss that. And for those of you in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it will begin at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Those who are in the Central, it's 9 a.m. for you. And those who are out on the West Coast, it's 7 a.m. And this is the second year to be able to accommodate the whole of our community in a reasonable time that they can actually tune in and listen in. So you don't want to miss that. And there'll be other presentations that will be made after the presenter will make their presentation on the attributes for that day. A lot of great subjects will be given, also Quran recitation. So you don't want to miss that. And they have a new number. That number is 717-908-1837. Once again, that's 717-908-1837. The passcode to get in is still the same as 684-012-pound. That's 684-012-pound. And with being Ramadan, you'll be able to assess that until the next presentation begins. So starting March the 30th, so circle that on your calendar so you can begin to tune in and listen in. It will start about 3 days, approximately 3 days before the projected time of Ramadan, March the 30th, for Study Al-Islam. Let's please tune in, listen in, and support that outstanding production. And last but not least, here at IWDM Radio, our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, we do support her and the Muslim Journal and her staff as they have sacrificed many, many years to keep the Muslim Journal alive. And if you're a Muslim, you should be reading the Muslim Journal. And if you have a subscription, think about a family member, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member, a pioneer, your local library, that you can make a gift to the, as a Muslim journal, as a subscription. And what a better time to do this as Ramadan is fast approaching. You think about e-gifts that you would like to give. This would make an excellent e-gift, somebody that's near and dear to you. So let's support the Muslim Journal as it has supported us for many, many years. So with that being said, I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in to these productions here, because without you, there would not be IWDM Radio, and most certainly it would not these productions that we have here on IWDM Radio, they would not exist. And a special thanks to go to my very distinguished and esteemed engineer and the host of the Science of the Health and You Learning Lab, Rashid Salam, for being an engineer tonight. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.